Blog Talk Radio.
Unto our path. So it's good to be here, and we'd like to thank God for all of our Blog Talk followers and our Blog Talk friends. Also, thank God for all of our Facebook followers and our Facebook friends. Thank God for you following us and able to listen to these sessions. We're thankful for that. And also, all our Twitter followers and our Twitter friends, thank God for you also. And so there's nothing like the Word of God, and we need God's Word. And that truly is what is wrong with the world. And so that's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so all that is in the world, John says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we can see the words of Jesus coming to pass. Everything is getting set in motion. He said, as it was in the days of Lot, how they planted, they sowed, they built. They did all of these things before the, and they didn't know that God was getting ready to rain down fire and brimstone, talking about in the days of Lot, from heaven. So he says in the days of Noah, the things that they'd done. And they didn't know what was getting ready to come, the floods on the earth. Many probably laughed at Noah building a boat or building an ark because it had never rained before. So it is right now. What is there so important about in the days of Lot? Abraham interceded, said if they could find 50 righteous, he wouldn't destroy the city. If he could find 40, on down, if he could find 10, he would not destroy the city. What had happened? The city, homosexuality, just like it is today in our world, And we can see even today, forget what state that was, that President, I believe one of the southern states, the president has agreed that to allow same-sex marriage. What foolishness. Because like we say in the Bible, we'll back us up. God made them, talking about man and woman, he made them male and female. The Bible said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The consummation of the marriage, the sex act, is what makes two people one flesh. That's what joins you together, is the sex act, or the consummation of the marriage, the sex act. So, two men can't do that. That is the illegal procedure. And isn't it funny? Why now, centuries later, they're coming up with this? Because they want benefits. Oh, my partner, me and my partner want to raise a child. I'm glad I wasn't raised by two men. Thank God I wasn't raised by two women. I was raised by mother and father, male and female. Because even a male and a female cannot get married if they aren't free to get married. You can't marry somebody else that's still married to somebody else. That's bigamy. You can't marry somebody that is not divorced. The self same thing. That is bigamy. You can't marry somebody else that already has a husband or already has a wife in most states. So why now all of a sudden? And they would tell you years ago that was illegal procedure. You could not marry the same gender. And so I say this, and some of these jellyback preachers and pastors and ministers and leaders and bishops and whatever they want to call themselves and reverends, they don't have the gall to stand up and say what the Bible says. And that is, it doesn't matter what a state does, and if a state approves same-sex marriage, but as far as God is concerned, it is illegal procedure because you cannot marry the same gender. So that's what we have the word. And that's why he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's why the Bible in Romans 14 and 17 said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it takes the Holy Ghost to be able to live for God. So we can see that is a perfect example of what happened today as to the days of Lot. So out of all, and Peter said, talking about Lot, he says, that righteous man vexed his soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked, which means, that word conversation means the lifestyle of the wicked. He said in the gate of the city. And you can read about that in the book of Genesis. And then in 2 Peter, he gives witness to the same thing. So God's word is right. And so it doesn't matter what law man passes to try to legitimize stuff and make things legal. As far as God's concerned, you're not married. You can't marry another man if you're a man, or you can't marry another woman if you're a woman. That makes no sense at all. So we thank God for this book of Philippians. And so also, so what we want to do on today is what we did on last week, and that is we're doing part six recap. So we also urge you to call in. Should you have questions, should you have comments, you are very welcome to call in. Our call-in number is 646-716-6566. Those of you that are on Facebook and Twitter and the Blog Talk listeners, you know what to do. Should you desire to call in, you have a comment, or you have questions, 646-716-6566. So we thank God that we're able to be here on today. So and also, we thank God that we have our historian here with us on today. And then without any further ado, he's going to, this book of Philippians, we cannot exhaust it. there's so much here. I think last week we kind of talked about the resurrection. So that is, you know, how he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, mm-hmm. being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Surely that's the attitude that we all should have, if by any means. So what does that mean? People might not like you. Some of your friends, you might have to forsake them. You're not going to be with them. People think they're going to be in hell together and having a good time. No, you're going to be down there by yourself the way you feel. You ain't going to be glad because somebody else is there too, including the chief, the devil himself, who hell was made for. So at this time, without any further ado, we're going to give you two of the hands of our historian, who also is an educator, is a history major, and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. As Elder Cannon was saying, that we left off last week talking about the resurrection and the power of the resurrection, and that Paul essentially gave up all of his status in life and gave up all of the accolades that he had received throughout his life. He counted that all as dung, just so that he may know him and know the power of the resurrection, and that he might be able to even obtain of that resurrection after being made conformable unto the Lord's death. And being made conformed unto his death, you then are eligible to inherit his life. So that's what Paul was getting at, and that I believe we left off around verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Again, this is saying I left everything in my life behind, and I'm not looking to hold on to those things. We can gather up as much savings as we want throughout our lifetime. We can come up with as many accolades or achievements that we can throughout our lifetime, but once you die, once you go into that box and get buried into that ground, it's over.
Yeah.
You can't carry that stuff into the next life. You can't carry that stuff into the grave with you, because it is of no use once you die. So, and that's what Paul was saying, that he essentially gave all that stuff up because he's dead. Going really quickly back to the book of Romans, and to show you the example of a Christian's death is in Romans, the 6th chapter. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, now he's talking to those who were baptized in Jesus Christ,
yeah.
talking to the saints that were at Rome, so anybody that was baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So what Paul was getting at, that I left all that behind because I essentially am dead because I was baptized into his death. That's how I'm being made conformable into the death. I was baptized and I leave those things behind and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before, which is that next part, walking in the newness of life as even as he rose again and showed that he had eternal life.
Yeah.
And in verse 14 it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's that saying? That there is, Paul also likened the walk of the Christian believer as a race, and that there's a finish line that we are looking for.
Yeah.
There is a finish line, and that finish line is heaven. That's what our aim is for. And when you are running a race, you have to run the entire race in order to finish. You can't stop with 100 meters to go. You can't stop with 50 yards to go. You have to go all the way. And so Paul was saying, I'm pressing for that high mark, even though it may be painful, even though I may have sufferings in my life, I'm still pressing for that mark because he has called me. He has chosen me. He has adopted me in sonship. And I'm going to press for that mark. I'm going to look for that line, that place where my goal is. He's aiming for a goal, and he's going to reach that goal. And that goal is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That is when Christ Jesus himself will descend into the clouds and call up all those who are called by him. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them into the clouds to be with the Lord forever. That's the high calling right there. That is the calling to enter into eternal life. We will have a in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed.
Yeah.
And so as we move on down, it says, let us therefore be, as many be perfect, be thus minded. That means we talk about this word perfect. I know Elder Cannon talks about the word perfect, but it's talking about maturity in Christ. So if you're mature in Christ, be mature minded in Christ, and look towards perfection. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. So God will show you where he needs to correct you at. He chasteneth those who he loves. Amen?
Amen.
And that we're not always going to pan out. We're not always going to shine. There's going to be times where we fall, where we stumble, where we do not fit the bill, so to speak. And God will correct us. He will show us our errors and how we need to correct our errors. And it's up to you as a child of God to take that correction and see the love that is within that correction so that you may be able to have a heart that repents and, again, turn into a perfect mind. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. So Paul was warning the brethren that they should walk even as he walked.
Yeah.
And even after those that are around him who teach the same doctrine as him. He said, but don't follow those who aren't teaching this doctrine. Don't follow those who were once among us but aren't among us anymore, because they're not teaching what we teach. And he said, I've told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping. Paul was sorrowful for these people that have erred from the truth, that have left the doctrine. And he knows what their end is going to be, because many of them were reprobate minds, and God had seared them with a hot iron so that they can't repent. He's telling you, don't follow after these, because they're not perfect-minded. They're not the ones that are going to lead you, even as I will lead you unto Christ, even as Christ is leading me. The head of the church is, the head of the man is Christ. That Christ, in context there, is talking about the church. The church is going to show you the way to go and the way to walk in order to reach Christ.
Yeah.
But you have to be a part of the church, the one and true church, the church that's teaching the truth. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, or our place, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for the Savior to come down and take us into our place, that we can enter into our rightful citizenship and our rightful inheritance, which is in heaven. Who shall he? And it says, after that, the Lord Jesus Christ is a colon, meaning that there's an extension to the sentence that's going on. So this who is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ shall change our vile body. That means this fleshly body that we are in right now, this fleshly tabernacle of bones and marrow and flesh, this is a corruptible state we're in. Every day our bodies are deteriorating due to sin that has entered into the human family. That means death has entered into the human family, and we are not perfect. We have a vile existence within these bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So there's going to be one day where we're going to put off this vile body, and we're going to put on his glory and be housed. And this is talking about our souls now. We're not talking about anything that has to do with this body. Our souls are going to be transferred from one body unto another body, and that according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So that is also part of the high calling of God, is that we are going to receive a change. We are going to be transformed after we are conformed. And we are looking for this transformation to happen within the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah.
We are looking for this change to happen. He is going to change us because no man has seen God because his glory would consume us. So the only way that we can see God in person, see the Father as he is, as John wrote in his first epistle, is that we must be like him. So he's going to change our body into a glorious body, that we may be like him, that we may be in his presence to worship him.
Yes.
So, and he is going to be able to subdue all things unto himself. That means he is going to, once we are taken into heaven, he is going to begin the judgments on this earth in order to subdue all of the enemies that have been brought forth unto him. They are going to actually fight God, and he's going to have to subdue them, all of his enemies, the last enemy being death. And he's going to have to put all those things under his feet in judgment, and then he's going to reign forever on his throne, and we will be right there with him in his throne.
Yes.
We're not talking about end time prophecy today. Maybe one day we will get into some end time prophecy, speaking about the Antichrist and speaking about the kingdoms to come, and talking about the book of the Revelation and the prophecies according to Daniel and the Old Testament prophets. But moving on, we're just going to stay within the book of Philippians today and stay within that context. Moving on into the fourth chapter. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Eudaeus, and beseech Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with the other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So I just wanted to point out really quick that it does say that the women who labored with me in the gospel,
mm-hmm.
women have their place in the gospel.
Yeah.
Women can preach the gospel. There's nothing that hinders a woman from preaching the gospel. So that doctrine that has been out there, that has been thriving for the last century or for this time that the church has been around, there are those that don't believe that women can be preachers, that women can be pastors. Women can labor in the gospel just as men do.
Yeah. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, but we all are one in Christ.
Exactly. So we have to know that there are women. God does speak to women,
yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
There's a prophet, which is a male voice piece of God, and there's a prophetess, which is a female voice piece of God.
Yeah.
So God has no respect of persons, and respect of persons goes along with gender also. So
yeah.
We have to know that we are laborers one together with both male and female.
Right. And just like the Bible speaks when it talks about wisdom and understanding in the book of Proverbs, it uses the female gender. It says, hold on to her. She is thy life.
Yes.
And he talks about being born again, except a man be born again. He's not just talking about a man.
Uh-huh.
He's talking about the human family.
Exactly. And that that man, that same word man that is used in the book of John, the third chapter of
yeah.
A man be born again, is that same word man that is used in Timothy, where it says if a man desires the office of a bishop.
Yeah.
That's the same word.
Yeah.
And so a woman can be technically a pastor. That word bishop there is referring to a pastor.
Yeah, or overseer.
Or overseer of an assembly. So we know that once again, God is not a respecter of persons, and that God has called women to preach the gospel. And once again, here's another example of Paul had women within his camp that labored with him in the gospel. One such woman that is named, just off the top of my head, is Priscilla. She was a preacher along with her husband Aquila. They had the same trade as Paul, and they preached the gospel. They were the ones that, in fact, witnessed unto Apollos and helped him to see the truth, a more
yeah.
perfect way.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that note really quickly. Moving on, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Everything, you should pray.
Yeah.
Men shall pray and not faint. Everything you can take to the Lord. You can take to him in prayer and supplication. Now, you have to have the wisdom to know when you should make a general prayer, when you should supplicate on something. And when you supplicate, you want to know the mind of the Lord. You want him to reveal unto him his mind, reveal unto you his mind, and to show you. So that is when you supplicate. And then there's one more that is not mentioned, is intercession. And when you intercede, you're interceding on another's behalf. You know the judgment of God. You know the mind of God. And you are interceding. That means you are standing in the gap, or you're standing in the way of the judgment to go forth, protecting that person, hoping that they repent. Jesus Christ is our greatest example of an intercessor, but Abraham was an intercessor.
Yeah.
He interceded for those in Sodom, looking for those righteous, and he could only find one man. Moses was an intercessor. Moses interceded for the children of Israel because God was going to wipe them off of the face of the earth, and he said, I will make you a nation, Moses, if you just step out of the way. And Moses said, no, wait a second. These are your people, God.
Mm-hmm.
These are your people, Lord. You called them out of Egypt. So he stood in front of the judgment of God and did not allow that to go forth. So in all things, in everything, we should pray. In everything, we should let your request be made known to God. You should request things of God that he may bless you. Amen? You can ask for blessings. That's not... That is not deemed taboo, so to speak, from God. You can ask for blessings. You can request blessings. You can even speak. We just heard our pastors preach a message that you can speak unto things and gain blessings out of those things. Amen?
Yes.
But that's not something that you should only be caught up on, is praying for blessings. You should be praying for spiritual enlightenment. You should be praying for health. You should be praying for spiritual strength. Amen.
Amen.
And praying, putting those prayers in the atmosphere, praying for the church as a whole, praying for souls to be saved. You should be praying for the gospel to be able to reach everybody in this world. Amen. And there's plenty of people out there who have never heard the apostolic message. There are plenty of people that have never heard the oneness message. They have no idea that Jesus is God and that you should be baptized in his name for the remission of sin.
Yes. So, like Paul told Agrippa, he said this thing wasn't done in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no secret. You know, everybody don't know the gospel. A lot of people are talking about Jesus, don't even know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So you got all these, you got certain people, financial people that are coming on television telling you that 40 people or whatever, if they sow into this, they're going to be blessed and all that. That's a lie. Because God only requires the tithe and a free will offering.
Uh-huh.
So ain't no such thing as God sent this man forth to straighten everybody out and they just sent him the money. Why don't he have them to send it to foreign missions or whatever?
Yeah.
To help the hungry.
Yeah, so and
that would make more sense.
It would make more sense. And this isn't a money house.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking to put in a little and get a lot out.
Right. They're merchant, like people say, like Peter said, they are making merchandise of people.
Yeah, and when you want to make an investment into something and look to get a bigger return, that's like the stock market,
exactly,
or even a casino. This isn't that type of atmosphere. This isn't that type of setting.
Right.
You pay your tithes according to the debt that you owe God. Tithes is a debt paid. It is just like the taxes you pay in the United States. They take those taxes straight out of your check. Tithes is something that's supposed to be taken straight out of your earnings, straight out of your increase. That's a debt you owe to God. Your offering is what you freely want to give unto the Lord and help to maintain the ministry that you are taking part in every week.
Yeah.
Those tithes and offering go for different things according to the ministry. Now, again, we're not getting into the financial plan of God. We may get into that another time and speak on tithes and offering, where tithes originated from, how you should give your offerings. Is there such thing as a seed offering? We can discuss that at another time, but that's not what we are looking to do today.
Right.
Again, we're in the book of Philippians. We're talking about prayer and that you may have peace in your hearts and in your minds through Christ Jesus, through prayer and through supplication. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, verse number 8, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, the God of peace shall be with you. So, When he's saying this, he said, whatsoever things are true, God is true. Whatsoever things are honest, Christ is honest. Whatsoever things are just, Christ is just. Whatsoever things are pure, Christ is pure. Whatever things are lovely and of good report and in virtue and anything praised, think on these things. So these are the different aspects and the different attributes that go along with God.
Yeah.
And these are things that you should think upon. And how good God has been to you in your life, how good God can be to you in your life. These things should comfort you. Although you may be going through all sorts of troubles, all sorts of trials, all sorts of tribulations, all sorts of persecution, you should not be caught up in thinking on those types of things.
Right.
You should be thinking on the things that are lovely, the things that are pure, the things that are honest, the things that are of good report. Those things that are of God, you should be thinking on, and you will get comfort in those things. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So you have to know that wherever you are, you should be content with what God has given you. God is going to bless you according to his will and his timing, amen, and according to his plan. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. So you have to be able to adapt, and you have to be able to show that you are that Christ is your all in all.
Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So God is going to strengthen me no matter the situation, no matter the struggle that I'm going through. If I'm full and I'm blessed, if I'm living in a big house, God has blessed me to do this.
Yeah.
If I am poor and I am broke and I'm hungry, I'm trying to stretch both ends. I'm trying to make ends meet, and they just aren't meeting. I know God is still with me, and God is still blessing me. I can be all of those things, and
yeah.
I know that God is going to strengthen me no matter what I do. He is going to end up being where the ends meet. Amen?
Amen.
And he will help me in my times of struggle. He will help me in my times of blessing. I know how to present myself to be a child of God, and people may think that I got it all together, but I know that God is the one that is with me
yeah.
at all times. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your accounts. So you get blessings based on what you give unto the ministry.
Yeah.
Not that Paul was looking for that blessing, but he wanted to make sure that they were blessed and that they, whatever they gave was used to the glory of God, and that they would get blessed based on that, helping out the ministry and helping it to continue on. And he talks about the gift that they sent to him while he was in Thessalonica. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And that concludes the book of Philippians. This is a very short epistle that is written, but there are some very powerful things that go along with this.
Yeah.
From the oneness of God and how he took on the form of a servant rather than the form of the glorious king, and how he put off all things and took on the Lord's suffering that we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. There are some powerful themes within this epistle. It is one of the prison letters. It's one of those letters that Paul wrote towards the end of his life. They don't know exactly when the date was of this epistle, whether it was during, if Paul did indeed have two imprisonments that whether this was of the first or second imprisonment, but it's around the year 63 to 64 A.D. is what is commonly received as the date of the book. And we have to know that that through all things, Christ will strengthen you. I think that is the main point that should be made, that Christ can strengthen you through anything, because all the things that Paul was going through while he was in prison shows a testament, or it shows the testimony that God was with him through all of these things.
Yeah.
No matter what it was, and going back over the various persecutions or the various things that Paul had to suffer through that he wrote about in the book of 2 Corinthians, we know that God was with him through all of this, whether it was the shipwrecks or whether it was the 40 lashes, save one, whether it was him being stoned in Lystra, whether it was being bitten as he was in the book of Acts.
Yeah.
All of those things, God was with him. The power of God was with him. The power of the resurrection was with him. The power of the Holy Ghost was with him. And we have to know that we as saints today, we as Christians today have to know that we have that same power in us that Paul had in him. And that same power that was with Peter and in Peter, that same power is in us.
Yeah.
And that we have to be just as bold as those brethren were. We have to be just as bold and be able to speak the gospel, speak his word, be able to know the love of God is within us, and not be afraid, not be made to be cowards and letting the devil have dominion over us and making the excuse that we really just can't help it. We were born this way.
Yeah.
Well, you're supposed to be born again.
Yes.
And us as being born again Christians, true born again Christians, I'm speaking to those that have been baptized, had their sins washed away by the name of Jesus, and those that have received the Holy Ghost, the newness of life, the spirit of life within us, the earnest of our inheritance that we carry around with us. We have to know that we aren't born this way. We are born again, and that the power of God is with us to overcome the flesh.
Yeah.
We can mortify these members. We can put off these fleshly attitudes. We can put off the anger issues that we have. We can put off the lusting that we have. We can put off the addictions that we may have to have suffered through in times past.
Yeah.
We were like those that are in the world that are in sin. We were like that.
Yes.
But we are washed. We are sanctified. We are justified. And that we have what Paul had.
Yes.
And what Paul said right here is that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Mm-hmm. And so if I want to be strengthened by Christ, and if I continually pray and I continually supplicate unto God, the peace of God is going to be in my heart. The peace of God is going to be in my mind. If I constantly think on those things that are true, those things that are just, those things that are honest, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely and of good report and of virtue and of praise, if I continually think on those things, Christ is going to strengthen me.
Yes.
Amen. And that I'm not going to have to suffer through the weakness of my flesh, but I'm going to think on the strength of his spirit.
Yes.
And they are going to help me through my tests and my trials. They are going to help me through my temptations. They are going to help me in all that I need help with.
Yes.
And that he is going to strengthen me, and I'm going to be an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. The term more than a conqueror means that I didn't have to conquer anything. I was just able to be placed or grafted into the place that has already been conquered.
Yes.
He did the conquering for me. I'm just living the life. Amen?
Yes.
When David went through all of his trouble, his son Solomon didn't have to go through any wars. Solomon didn't have to fight any wars. Solomon didn't have to fight in battles. David did all of that. Solomon just gained all of, Jesus gained the kingdom. Amen? And that's how we have to go along, is that we are more than conquerors. He did the conquering for us, and he's still conquering for us. We just have the triumph in Jesus Christ. And we have to know that, and we have to recognize, and we have to identify who we are as saints of God. We have to identify who we are as children of God, and that we have a right to his throne. We have a right to his inheritance, because I am his child. I am an heir and a joint heir.
Yes.
And we have to recognize that and know that is our place, that
right.
Our conversation, that our citizenship is in a place that I may not see right now, but by faith I know that I'm in that place.
Right.
And that I'm in heavenly places.
Yes.
So we have to, this is a call unto all Christians, unto all those that have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, those that have been born again. Know who you are. Know your place in God.
Yes.
Know your rights in God. Know your rights as children of God. I can't emphasize that enough. And too many of us do not know our identity, do not know where we came from, do not know what our rights are, do not know what we believe in, do not know our doctrine, do not know the promises that are promised unto the church. We don't know these things. We are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
But not because knowledge isn't available, it's because we reject the knowledge.
Yes.
And that we have not followed after the ways of God. We have been deceived. We have been discouraged. We have been tricked. We have been lied to by the devil.
Yeah.
The devil's main aim is to destroy us.
Yeah.
The devil's main aim is to keep us as far separated from God as possible so that we cannot be saved. And we have to recognize the works of the devil. We have to recognize the tactics and the devices of the devil that he uses in order to keep that separation going.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be separated any longer. We want to draw nigh unto him. We want to be close unto him and have his promises fulfilled within our lives. So this is a call unto all Christians. This is a call unto all those who are of like belief, that know who you are, know your rights in God, that you have rights in God, and that the devil does not have dominion over you, but you have dominion over the devil, and that he has to bow at the name of Jesus Christ, and that name of Jesus Christ is on your life.
Yes.
And you have to believe that Jesus Christ is going to be with you at all times.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen. Well, yeah, I was just thinking here about Apostle Paul was preaching that night, and that man fell as dead. And he preached a long sermon. He went down and said, embraced him and took him up and said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. But after that, they ate and everything. Then he talked all the way until the breaking of day. So I dare not to say that they had a Bible class on
Amen.
Top of him preaching that long sermon.
Amen.
So being a man of God like this man was, he didn't count. He even said it. He said, I don't count my life as dear. So he gave of himself to others.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, you know, people, they're not doing that. They want people to wait on them hand and foot, surrounding them. I thought the angel of the Lord camp around about them that fear him and deliver him. you know, not your so-called armor bearers. So we got to believe God and do what God says do. So this is what this man did. He was truly a servant and letting people know. And like the Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So he definitely, he said, even like they in the book of Hebrews, says, one thing they did, says, seeing him who is invisible. So we got to see God. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not talking about literally with your eyes. In other words, they see God working. They see God working in them and their situation. They see God at the end of the tunnel, as we would say.
And I want to say that it was Peter that says that we are saved by something that we have not even seen
He was saying, though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, and receiving the end of your salvation, end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
Talking about the prophets searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
Amen.
So anyway, he was saying that, we haven't seen him, we love him, and so yet rejoicing, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
So it's in the first chapter of the book of Peter where he's talking about that.
Yeah, he
that is so important.
Of what we believe and haven't seen, but
right.
Peter and the other apostles did see him.
Yes.
John said that was from the beginning we have
right. 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Yeah, 1:10.
Amen.
Then going on down.
And those things that they prophesied about, those
mm-hmm.
things that they talked about,
Spirit of God.
They had to continually look back and forth and
yes.
look to the other prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
But the fulfillment of those prophecies came when Jesus Christ came, and that which was from the beginning,
right.
we have heard and we
yes.
have seen with our eyes and we have looked upon and,
yes.
and our hands have handled the
word
of life. For that life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That's the first chapter, 1 John,
yes.
verse 2 verses, that we have seen him, and this is talking about the apostles.
Yeah.
We have seen him, we have handled him, we have talked with him, we have sat with him. He has taught us, he has slept with us, ate with us. He has traveled with us. We've been with him for these 3.5 years, and we know that he is the one
yes.
that was manifested. He is the one that was talked about by Moses. He was the one that was talked about by Isaiah. He was the one that was talked about by Jeremiah. He was
right.
the one that was talked about by Ezekiel.
In the Psalms.
He was the one that was talked about by David in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one that was talked about by all the prophets, Hosea, by Micah, by
right.
Zechariah,
by Obadiah,
by Malachi. He is that one that has been talked about for hundreds and thousands of years.
Yes.
He is that one, and he finally manifested himself. He was born of a woman. He was born in Nazareth. He was born, or not in Nazareth, he was born in Bethlehem,
right.
but grew up in Nazareth.
Right.
And he grew up 30 years being made not known unto men. He was just a humble carpenter.
Right.
But then one day at the River Jordan, a man by the name of John the Baptist baptized this man to fulfill all righteousness. And it was revealed unto John at that time that this is the Lamb of God.
Yes.
And that he started revealing himself as the Lamb of God
yes.
unto those that were followers of him, those 12 apostles, those 12 disciples that followed after him for the entirety of his ministry.
Yes.
And they were with him, and they handled him, and they knew that this is the one.
Right. They were eyewitnesses, and 3 of the apostles emphatically make it plain. Apostle Paul says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought in me.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about it in the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. But Peter says in his book that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he also, you go back in the Gospels, you can see when he was transformed before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. And John says, I was in the isle that is called Patmos for the testimony of God, you know, for the word of God, you know. So being an apostle, I've never seen so many apostles before in my life, on LinkedIn, on these different places. I mean, to be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness. That's the point that he's making here. And they said, we've handled all these things that they've done, but we were eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
We weren't trying to, we're not telling you about what we heard. We were there. We were with him.
And
we was on the boat with him when we thought the storm was going to take us out. He already had said, let us go over to the other side.
And that this great salvation was first spoken by him.
Yes.
And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him or were with him.
Mm-hmm.
Those 12 were the first ones that started speaking and preaching that word.
Yeah.
Because Peter wasn't the only one that preached on the day of Pentecost. He spoke with many words, as did all of them.
Right.
They all spoke on the day of Pentecost. And they all were speaking of the same thing. They all were of the same mind.
Right.
And they all went in different directions, preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Unto those that were lost.
He
was preaching the gospel unto those that needed salvation, which is all men. Paul said that God has commanded all men to repent.
Yes.
And he has brought all men the opportunity to repent through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this book of Philippians, as we close it out, we have to know that our identity as Christians, our identity as children of God, our identity as heirs of God, that we have to know who he is in us and in our lives. Who is God in your life?
Yeah.
Who is Jesus Christ in your life? What do they mean? What does he mean unto you? What does being a son of God mean unto you? Does it mean that you can go party in the club on Saturday evening and know that you have salvation on Sunday? God forbid.
Right.
Shall sin abound? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
God forbid.
Does he mean that he's just a free meal ticket into heaven? Does it mean that you have that you don't want to go to hell, so you're just going to follow after him just because? That's not the purpose of Christ in your life.
You should love him.
Yeah, we should love and want to follow after God. We should want to be close unto him. We should not just want to strive to be in heaven. We're not going to heaven just to be in heaven. We're
right.
going in heaven to see him.
Yeah.
Now, heaven's just a place where he abides. I'm trying to get to the place where he is, not to the place where I can have all of these fantasies fulfilled as they speak of it in Hollywood and in the movies that we are going to you're going to go to heaven and there's going to be an ice cream cloud and there's going to be a cloud with a bunch of beautiful women and there's going to be a cloud with where Will Chamberlain James Brown and Michael Jackson are going to be singing together in heaven and dancing together. That's not what I'm going to heaven to see. I'm not going to see those people. And we're not going to talk about those people aren't even there right now. There's nobody in heaven except God and his angels.
Right.
But we are looking to be with him. We're aiming to get to the high calling, which is to be with God in the clouds.
Right.
That's what we're looking for.
Right.
That's what our aim is. That's what our purpose is. Where I know that I can identify myself as a child of God because I know that I want to be with my Father in the clouds.
Yes.
So on that note, I think we can close out this book of Philippians. Know that you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah, that is what he said. Our conversation is in heaven. We look from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness.
God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.